you can hold a master's ticket and have no idea how to share command with someone else. Rotational captaincy is growing, but there's no course that teaches two captains how to lead together, how to hand over crew's trust, not just an operational log, how to disagree without fracturing the team below you, how to let go of control without losing the standard you've spent your career building. Dean has been a captain since 2000. He started rotating in 2020, and for 6 years, he and his rotational partner, Rowan, had made it work on a 60-meter through charters, crew changes, and everything in between. They've built something that most rotational partnerships fail to build: a shared culture, a rolling dialogue, and enough trust to be honest with each other when it isn't working. In this conversation, we get into how Dean found the right rotational partner and why that process matters more than most captains realize. We talk about what happens to crew when two captains are out of alignment and why they always know. And we get into the vulnerability, what it actually looks like at the top of a vessel, and why the captains most willing to sit in discomfort are the ones who crew choose to stay with. If you're a captain considering rotation, a chief officer who wants to get there, or someone trying to make a current rotational dynamic actually function, this one is worth your full attention. Here's Dean.
Hi, Dean. Welcome back to Yachting International Radio. Lovely to have you here.
Great to be here, as always.
Dean, I know that you connected with me a while back, and you'll have to give me some insight in terms of how long you've been a rotational captain for. Obviously, it's the trend at the moment and fantastic, and I think crew deserve it. They need it. However, it does come with its challenges. And why I've called you today to do this interview is because I know that you've been working with Rowan as your rotational partner for a very long time. Can you give me a bit of background in terms of the yacht that you're currently on? How many meters? How long you've been a captain for? And when did you start the rotational position? And then I'm going to deep dive into some fantastic questions.
Sure, absolutely. So basically started yachting in, oh my God, 91. Started in yachting, got my captain's ticket in 2000, and yeah, was a captain pretty much straight after that through till now. And then I got onto this boat in 2019 and got the rotational position on here 1 year after that. So in April of 2020 was when I started rotating, was allowed to start the rotation. So interestingly, I haven't been rotating that long, and this is my first rotational job. But you know, just for the fact that, as you and I, you know, the work that you and I do, I talk to a lot of captains, and this does come up a lot in conversations that you and I have had with other captains and what other captains have reached out to me to talk about, just in crew welfare and also just their own mindset welfare.
Okay, great. So let's go back to the beginning. How did you find the right fit to be a rotational captain? Like, what was your process? If you can talk me through the screening process, the interview, because just to give you some context, I think the challenge for new rotational partners is that they feel like they don't have autonomy. And my suspicion is that the lead captain, if I can call it that, is scared to let go of control. And there might be fear associated around that. What if they're better than me? What if the crew like them more than me? I haven't really got into the psychology of it as yet, but those are my suspicions in terms of what the conflict or tension points are.
Look, I think there's a very clear separation, and I think part of that gets put upon you by the family office, this is my view and my opinion. So a lot of family officers and owners only want one point of contact. And so for that, they want responsibility. And ultimately, if something goes wrong, there's one point of contact. And so when I got told that I was allowed to employ someone as my rotational partner, you know, you go through the every thought process. Well, you want to have someone that is like you, or does things like me, But the reality is there is no other Dean. But, you know, I am me, and how I think about something is unlike anyone else. No one else will think like me. No one else behaves like me, and no one else processes like me. So then you have this vision of what's going to be perfect, and then you try and go, okay, who would that person be? And so in my thought process was, I need to try and find someone that is has my mindset and also that has my same thought process.
Mm-hmm.
So Rowan actually was my chief officer on another boat for 4.5 years on a boat that we worked for previously. He then went away and started his journey as a captain, and he worked on a smaller boat on his own for a while and then moved on to a bigger boat as a captain. And then when I got given the green light to go ahead and employ a rotational captain, you know, my thought process was, well, that's a good fit for me because we've worked together. We know we can work together because he was my chief officer. He has probably taken in some of my mannerisms or maybe some of my ways of thinking of how to run a boat, but he's also gone out and got his own because you need that. You need a little bit of offset so that you don't miss anything when the boat's being run. So I think that was how I initially thought through it. And then when I rang him up and said, you know, this is an opportunity, what's your thought? You know, he sort of said, yeah, absolutely, I'm back. And, you know, and that was 6 years ago, and we've been together for 6 years.
Which is incredible. So the onboarding process, what did the conversation look like in terms of how you're going to lead effectively together? Because you hear from crew often in terms of the switch in rotational captains or heads of departments, they have completely different leadership styles and they feel like they're walking on eggshells with one captain and then the other captain, they feel that there's that psychological safety there.
Yeah, look, I'm not really sure, you know, going back to what I just said, two people aren't the same. And so that means that crew pick favorites. They'll have a favorite captain. They'll feel that one captain gives them more days off or gives them a bigger break or is more personal, where the other captain is more book smart or more organized or more, you know,
task
connected. Yeah, exactly. So then that, and you can't change that dynamic. What you need to be able to manage is that crew thought process of how they manage that. We as captains need to try and keep it as close as possible. You know, we have this saying, you know, don't come on board, don't change too much, don't, you know, don't change the crew dynamics, don't, you know, but it happens. And it's just how you lay it out and manage it as two captains. You know, that's why the handover period is so extraordinarily important in that process, because it's more about dealing with the crew dynamics as well when you come back on board so that you can keep that at a level field rather than, you know, part of the operations.
Okay. So because you've had the privilege of working with Rowan, so you've had more insight into his character, what does it take in terms of when two leaders come together? What skills do you think are required in order for them to lead effectively, seamlessly?
Openness, mm-hmm. Willing to compromise, to have clarity in what you're trying to do, acceptance, vulnerability.
Yeah.
You know, have the ability to say, okay, well, I made that mistake, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, and also too, like, not, don't say, well, I wouldn't have done that like that, because a crew member will jump on that and just go, you know, whether it's your HODs or whatever, you know, as soon as you start to show a difference between your rotational partner, then that's when it sort of goes apart. And then work through it with him when you come back on board for the swing process. Rowan and I talk a lot. Like, when I'm off the boat, we chat every couple of days just on bits and pieces. If we're making crew changes, we're always both included within the process. If anything operational is going to change, we stay within we have a rolling dialogue. So yeah, I think that's also very important.
And that would make all the difference that you are on the same page. So what are the challenges that you hear from crew reaching out to you in relation to the subject of being a rotational partner and perhaps some of their frustrations, and maybe we can workshop them and find some solutions?
Not trusting the other captain's calls, over documenting justifications of their decisions. So they'll make a decision on board and you get back on board. And this is what I'm hearing, not from what's happening with us as we operate our boat. Yeah, they over-document the decision. So they go, oh, I'm going to do this. But then they write down all their reasonings for doing it. They've got documents. You come back from your swing and there's a whole list of reasons why they've done it, because, you know, and then the net result of that is they weren't confident in their decision. So they're over-justifying it, you know what I mean, to protect themselves. They try to reset the boat every time they come back from a swing. So one captain comes in, the other captain comes back, and then they just start again. And then the crew just, you lose the crew because they don't know where they stand. They don't know what. I've had that comment from crew on Ariens at some points too, where they go, oh, Rowan likes it like this, which is okay. And that's fine. So I just need to understand why that crew member says it's like that and then understand it. And I'm okay with that. You know, if that works for everyone, then we just leave it like that. You know, it's not me coming back and just like, okay, well, that's how we were doing it. But if it's working and it's a better way, then all for it. You know, it's about trying to make the balance on board the boat have an equilibrium across the board.
Do you think ego often gets in the way of having a constructive working relationship?
I do. I think part of new captains that come into rotation is they're generally coming from a boat where they're the captain, so they are solely responsible. And so they are the ultimate person. And then they come back on, then they come onto a boat where they're just like, they feel like they're just the custodian.
That's it. Yeah.
Right? That they're not actually the captain.
Yeah.
But they are. They're there. They ultimately have responsibility while they're on board the boat. Okay. The owner calls me at home and says, oh, Dean, these are the dates I'm coming on board. No worries. But then the other captain goes, well, why didn't he call me? But it goes back again to how the family office or he wanted it set up. And if I was, see, I was on the boat a year before I got rotation. So obviously I was there full time for a year. So how do I change the owner's thought process in that? And if he wants that, then ultimately we all work for him. All we're trying to do as a team is build an experience for him that makes him want to come back and wants him to be on board.
Mm-hmm. So what would your advice be to lead captains to not make their rotational partner feel like just a custodian? I know that you've mentioned the family office and there's a role to play there, but also you can let go the rope a bit so that they feel like they do have a part to play, an important part to play.
Yeah, and I think that's just in part and parcel of being on board for over time, and then as the person is on board for longer, has fitted into the rotation, has had, you know, actual life experience on board with the principal, and that you start to slowly not talk as much. You're not talking every second day. You're now talking once a week or whatever, and then just keeping your hand in your cheek. And one of the things that we do on Ariens is so we have on our emails a captain email and then a dean email and a Rowan email. When we're off, we don't look at the captain's email. So when we're off rotation, we don't read the. And so then if there's something that we both feel we each other need to know about, we just redirect it to the to our personal one. So then that way we're staying in the loop of what's going on board the boat. We're seeing what the other captain's doing so that we're basically both got our noses pointing in the same direction all the time, you know, so that we don't come back from a swing and then go, oh, I'm actually looking this way on this point because I didn't know about it. You know what I mean? So it's just openness about what's going on and just being clear of what the plan is. And then, you know, Ron and I both do it well with each other. When we don't know what we want to do or we're not sure how it's going to land, we just talk to each other about it.
Great. So what was your identity shift? Maybe you had one, maybe you didn't, in relation to being a sole captain and moving to rotational.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think that's probably a better question for Rowan than me because, like, I think I've definitely let go of more in the last couple of years, maybe the last 3 or 4 years. I've, you know, started to worry less. I've enjoyed my off time better. And I guess that's part of it. You know, I become more comfortable and know that we're both do the what's right for the boat. So the net result for me is my downtime is actually downtime. You know what I mean? I'm not stressing as much of what's happening on board the boat. I know it's in safe hands. My team's got it. And yeah.
I think the operative word is trust. I think you're able
to. For sure.
Is trust.
And actually, let me correct myself there. It's not my team anymore. It's our team. And I think that's the dynamic change when you become comfortable with your swing partner. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Have you seen situations where one captain may have undermined another captain? And what would that look like in action?
Oh, look, you hear about it all the time, but I think the most situations where I hear about it is dealing with crew or where discipline on boats happen with crew or what's acceptable for one captain might not be acceptable for another. And, you know, not having clear laid out definitions of safety protocols on board the boat, you know, and that's where I think it falls apart the quickest.
Okay.
Quietly correcting things when we're not aligning.
Mm-hmm. So what support do you think could be helpful to prepare captains for that rotational dynamic? Because you don't learn about it. There's not a course that teaches you how. Obviously, with leadership, certainly, where you can learn to practice active listening, hearing one another, communication, how to deal with conflict or your own emotions if you're feeling frustrated or if you feel like you've got the thumb on you and you don't have any autonomy in what you do. But you are there for crew and you coach and you guide them. Do you think there needs to be something more formally put in place to help with that transition?
Look, I think it comes back, I think, in my opinion, to the willingness of a captain to make himself vulnerable. And I think people that are vulnerable and are willing to open themselves up, which you and I have discussed with many captains in many calls, are the ones that show the greatest change and the greatest ability to adapt to the situation. If I think, like I said, I started in 1991. Captains were very different then, and I have seen changes. And, you know, like I told you back in our very first interview, when I first started yachting and I got treated the way I did, all I wanted to do was to be a captain and change and leave the industry better than I found it, because the way that captains treated crew back then was not good. And so I just said I wanted to make sure that when I came through that I didn't treat people like that. and gave people the opportunity to express themselves, be heard. And it's okay if you let them listen and then correct them, but give them the opportunity to be heard. You know, and that's the same with your rotational partner. In the handover, Rowan and I spend more time talking about the crew and that sort of thing and the dynamic on board than we do about upcoming charters. You know, we spend time on it, the program, the owners and all that, but it's more about the balance of the boat and the crew, because fundamentally it's the most important thing about yachting.
Absolutely. So if you had to share your secret sauce, if I could say, in terms of how you've made this relationship work for 6 years, is it 6 years?
Yeah.
What would be your go-to tips for someone who would like to strive to have a professional working relationship that you and Rowan have? I know I think we've covered some points already, but if you had to summarize, what would that be?
I think cherishing, like, you, if you're going to decide that yachting's your life and your career, your years as chief officer, as you come up through the ranks, is super important. And if you find captains that you really gel with and stuff, you need to nurture that and build on that, so that down the line, you never know, so that one day when they go, you know what, I need a captain, I need another person to come and work for me, that they think of you. You know what I mean? Like, give, never burn a bridge, is as the saying goes. Like, nurture that position, create that, and then you never know what's going to happen. It's a very difficult thing, because when you need to go out and find a new captain for a new role, it is very upsetting in the dynamic of the boat. It changes the feeling of the boat. It changes who, the whole infrastructure. So yeah, it's super hard. Like, I get the where you're coming from by saying to us, can we create any formal planning or formal training of weights to make sure that the transition is smooth and that the operation stays steady? But it's such a, we're in a people-driven industry. And so the, that connection between people, if the captains don't have it, then it just amplifies down through the crew.
And I think it's also attitude. You can't think that you're going to have a great relationship if you think you're better than the other.
100%. Yep. Willingness to make mistakes, willingness to accept mistakes, have empathy to those that do make mistakes, you know, especially if your thought process is that you're the senior captain or you've been there longer, or however the family office sets it up, you know, you need to be able to manage that.
So vulnerability, I love that word, because it's such a powerful leadership skill. And I think in our ego, in our industry, which has a lot of ego, how do you teach vulnerability specifically within your team? Obviously, you have to show it yourself. It's leading by example. But have you seen your team become more vulnerable since you've been at the helm for 7 years? I know that crew come and go, but you've had your heads of departments for a very long time. Have you?
Yeah, I'm blessed with that. I've been very lucky with that situation. I think one of the biggest things that I try to try and teach people is the ability to listen. Like, so much good comes from just saying nothing. So much. To have the ability to sit there and give them the space to talk. Crew will generally resolve the problems themselves if you give them the space of silence.
Yeah, and you've got to be comfortable with giving that silence.
Yeah. And and give them the time to do that. You know, we're busy. We work hard. We've always got things on our plates. It's shipyards, it's charters, it's owners requirements, it's all the paperwork, it's the management companies. But when the crew comes to you and they want something, you've got to give them that space, and everything else shouldn't matter at that point.
Well said, Dean. Anything that I haven't covered that you would like to speak to?
No, look, I think it's a great question, but I'm not really sure if we've answered the does this industry need a specific format for rotational captains? I think it's, I'm not sure if there is a real true answer to that. It's the ability of how two people react together. Mm-hmm. And however you two at the top react together, it amplifies down quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's the result, you know. And the two of you together aren't the same person. And it will never be that you are not two of the same pod. You know, you have different thought processes, like I said before. And so that's how you have to deal with it, not more like, okay, you need to be like me, because it'll go wrong like that.
And I think it's always helpful to start with a vision and work backwards. So asking your rotational partner, what do you see for the operation of the vessel? What are the owner's needs? How are we going to meet those needs? What sort of team are we looking for to fulfill the objective of what we're striving for, and what culture do we want on board? Because the behaviors that you're going to see on board has to match the culture that you're trying to create. So it's a dance between all these different aspects. And I think if you can use those skills, as you said, listening, having an open conversation, being vulnerable, like this situation makes me feel comfortable, or I don't feel 100% about this particular hire, can we talk about it? I think it requires that ongoing openness. I think everything that you've shared here, Dean, has been fantastic and certainly useful moving forward for those who are struggling. Thank you so much for your time.
Always happy to be here and to talk with you, Corinne. Thanks.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.